Today's passage, which comes from Matthew chapter 6, 5 through 15. So we'll read responsibly and I will start it. Okay. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Give us today our daily bread. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. If you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Okay, that's it.
Good afternoon. How are all the people of God doing after a long snow break weekend? Whew. It's kind of like having a vacation with nothing planned, with lots of kids and still lots of work to do. So I hope all the parents and families had a good time shoveling snow, and I hope your backs are all doing okay, and I hope you survived the fun times with all the kids home and having fun together. Hopefully we'll get back to a little normalcy this week. So I tried to make the PowerPoint really, you know, bright and full of nature stuff since we've been covered with white for a while. The title for today, we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. And so we're going to focus just on verses 7 through 15. Not really 5 and 6 today, and our key verse is 10. So let's read that all together. Ready? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So this year we sense the call of God to pray. Jesus taught his disciples to pray on many occasions. One crucial spiritual habit is personal prayer. When we, as we read and as Jesus taught, we go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Today, however, we want to emphasize another crucial habit, praying in the context of community. We are part of the great family of God. We pray together and seek to become one with God, one with our spouses, one with our families, and all those who God brings to the altar of prayer with us. Our prayer together as a community seeks to do what? Just tell God what we want? No, it seeks to advance God's agenda, God's will, God's plan, not our own. God may newly impassion us to pray together, saying, your kingdom come, your will be done. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless us as we think more deeply about this foundational prayer that Jesus taught in its context here in the Sermon on the Mount. Cover all my sins and weaknesses and help your word to be planted and this habits of prayer to more deeply emerge among us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. First, We pray with hearts attuned to a Father who knows best, verses 7 and 8. So as we're all too familiar, we live in a world of noise and distraction, even in our here in our worship service at times. We've gotten more used to it, but it's just part of what life is. We daily fight the enemies of stress and anxiety, aloneness, downheartedness. We could go on and on. But Jesus invites us beyond the noise to a relationship with a Father God who knows us and who anticipates our every need and want. Let's look at verses 7 and 8. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, blah, 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 blah. For they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. God does not need us to tell him and inform him about all the things we need him to do and take care of in our life and community. He doesn't need us to do that, even though that's often what we do in our prayers. They drift toward being kind of a laundry list of expectations and demands, and we just wait. Prayer, however, requires more of our heart than from our tongue. God knows what we need before we ask him. God's agenda, not our own, seeks to illuminate the deepest motivations of our heart. We are called to trust and believe in a God who already knows what we need and who is already doing, as Shepherdess Sue likes to say, more than we ask or imagine. He's already doing that in and around us. While we were still sinners, God was going ahead of us through the death of Jesus to prepare the way for us to become his sons and daughters. Amen. God the Father sent his one and only Son to take the place of all the lost and forgotten sons and daughters of the world. Jesus' death on the cross removed all barriers and destroyed the wall of hostility between us and God due to our sin. Because of Jesus, we can freely know, come, and even commune with God as our heavenly Father. He knows what we need even before we ask. Jesus teaches us to pray with hearts already attuned to a Father who knows what's best for us. Second, we pray in community with the model Jesus gives, verses 9 through 13. So we recall that this part in Matthew's gospel is part of the Sermon on the Mount and lay the important foundations across the board for life in the new family of Jesus. This particular section in the Sermon on the Mount addresses various aspects common to the religious life of the Jews in Jesus' time, like giving and prayer and fasting. So let's consider together what is most foundational about our practice of prayer in community. Look at verses 9 and 10. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray with loving adoration and respect to the awesome Father God. In our attitudes and words, we seek to uphold the holiness of God's name while confidently entering into a family-like intimacy with Father God. We pray with passion and excitement for God's plan and for God's will and for God's agenda to spring forth into the world. We fervently long for the rule and the reign of God in heaven to break into our fallen world and scattered lives. Look at verses 11 through 13. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. In prayer, we also bring our everyday needs to God. They include daily provisions of physical and spiritual bread, giving and receiving forgiveness, and guidance and deliverance from temptation. The evil one and the spiritual forces of evil, as we learned in Ephesians, want to either derail us or, more strategically, just keep us living relatively inconsequential Christian lives. He's very happy to just see us not really doing much that really matters in light of eternity. So we approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our times of need and reconnect with God, our Heavenly Father. We often do well, at least speaking for myself, I do well at bringing my needs to God. Lord, please help me with this, and I need help with that, and I can't. But often it's difficult even to conceptualize when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Just kind of seems far out there. So I thought these might be helpful. So I'm gonna need the help from the kids. Kids, can you come up here and grab some of these and then pass them out? Everyone gets at least one. Make sure everybody gets at least one. Okay, that's good. Okay. Can I keep one? No. All right. Give some to James. Can you pass? Give some to James, Chloe. Make sure everybody gets at least one. So where is it from? What, John, where was yours from?
What is the question? From you.
No, I mean, where is it from? See if you can figure it out.
Steve,
where's yours?
Korea.
Korea. 10. All right.
Mine's the same as his.
There's a bunch of Korean coins.
France.
I think it's Korean.
I think, yeah, that's King Sage, I think.
Korean.
Anybody not have a Korean one?
Europe.
Where?
I don't know. It's a euro. I don't know.
Oh, it's a euro. Ooh, that one might be worse. Canadian.
U.S., I think? No, it's not.
Not sure?
New Zealand?
New Zealand!
Korean.
Any new ones over here?
Canada.
That's Canada.
Spain.
France.
All right.
Maybe Germany.
We're not sure.
Fiji.
Fiji. Oh, wow. There's some more here. Okay.
Mexico.
I have one at home from Canada, but this one's from China.
Oh, it's got the hole in it even. That one's older. Anybody else? Yeah.
Hong Kong.
China.
Oh, Korean.
Korea. Did anybody get the 500 Korean won? My kids love this coin. The 500, it says 500 on it. It sounds like it's like amazing, right? You know how much it is? 42 cents. It's 500 won, but it's 42 cents. All right, they're all gone. See? Oh, if somebody has two, can someone get Missionary Daniel one? All right, it's important everybody gets one. All right. These coins are relatively foreign to us. We don't really know for sure where some are from. The language on some of them, it's hard to for sure tell unless you know the language on the coin. How much is it worth? The value is maybe difficult to determine. Especially maybe the francs, because, you know, I'm not even sure it's worth anything anymore if with the euro and everything else. But each one comes from another nation, another country, another kingdom, somewhere else. Even more than the countries where these foreign coins came from, God's kingdom is a real place. God's kingdom will long outlast what we now see all around us. We can even say God's kingdom has its own currency. But like these foreign coins, it's from somewhere different than here. It's based on a totally different value system. The exchange rate for even one soul in the kingdom outweighs all this world has to offer. And much different than the coins, God's kingdom currency is measured in Christ-likeness. And instead of making coins that somehow represent the country where they are from, do you know what God did? God made us in His image. Instead of putting all His resources in metal coins and dollar bills, Father God pours His resources into us, His children. We all have a desire and a longing for eternity in our hearts. We long to find the deep meaning and value and purpose of our life, maybe first in our 20s, like Kofi's doing now. Later again in our 30s, when we start to have kids and we wonder, wow, something's a little different here. And then in our 40s, where I'm at now, can't even have time to think about it much. And then in our 50s and 60s and 70s and more, we are newly discovering our value and our purpose and the meaning of our lives. We press more deeply into the community God has given us at this point in our life and pray together as one family seeking to be one with God and each other. We can all do better at strengthening our prayer, our excitement, and our passion for God's kingdom to come and for God's plan and God's agenda to forcefully advance in our community. For this, we gather, we pray, and as Steve wonderfully emphasized last week and Katie did in our kids' space, what do? We listen. We listen. We listen to God and to each other. We engage our heart more than our tongues. We dream and imagine together. We seek to discover and renew God's great vision for our humble Toledo UBF church community. Through prayer together, we make our church more defined as one of the embassy outposts of God's coming kingdom to earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Third, we pray with an unrelenting foundation of forgiveness. An unrelenting foundation of forgiveness. As we experience God's kingdom favor and God's blessings in our life, what usually happens is we are propelled toward pride. We get infected with the "I am really somebody" spirit. And thus, we take offense quite easily from others. How dare that person insult me or question my decision? Offense and hurt rise quickly when we are not broken and contrite before the Lord. Little children don't take offense usually. Why? Because they're not big enough in their own eyes to be insulted in the first place. So it usually washes over them. We stay little by constantly forgiving those who hurt us. Forgiveness keeps us lowly. It keeps us small. For we are not really important enough to be insulted. Look at verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Wow. Unfortunately, when we get too big for our own boots, we begin to distance ourselves from Jesus. Likewise, God also tends to distance himself from those who stray toward arrogance and self-sufficiency. One clear step we can take to stay little is to be generous in forgiveness. With such an unrelenting foundation of forgiveness, we are not hindered in our community prayer life. We remove hurts and wounds, the misunderstandings and distances, the fiery sparks and disappointments that arise inevitably when sinners spend too much time together. We focus more on the bigness of our Father and His agenda to make us one. We rest in our relative smallness and our worthiness to be part of His family with our fellow brothers and sisters. In conclusion, we see community prayer has a passion for God's glory and God's agenda. His name and His kingdom have top priority. God is more than able to do His will without our prayer or cooperation. Still, He invites the participation of our prayers, of our heart, and of our actions in seeing His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Together we drink deeply from the well of God's forgiveness and grace. We find a willingness and a joyfulness even to forgive. We acknowledge that our relationships with each other deeply matter to God, and that loving God and loving others are one and the same. We attune ourselves to the Father's heart, pray together according to the model Jesus gives, and keep this unrelenting foundation of forgiveness. Let's read our key verse one more time. Up there on the screen, ready? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So before I close with prayer, I want to invite everyone, if you don't want to keep the coin, you can return them. If it's going to be a helpful reminder for you to pray for God's kingdom to come, please keep it in your pocket. Please keep it and pass it on and have it be a reminder for us to pray like this together. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and for your grace. Continue to bless and strengthen us to be attuned to your heart and to know that you're a Father who already knows what's best for us. For us to pray according to the model you give, that God's agenda may have greater excitement and passion and enthusiasm among us. Strengthen this foundation of forgiveness in our own community life and prayers as we move forward this year, seeking your will and agenda in our lives and in our community. I pray all this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.